Hello, hello, hello. It's Peter Cooper, your new best friend. I'm fully hopped up on Tide Pods that I've had for my lunch, so now I'm ready to go with podcasting again after many, many years of not doing it. So what is this? This is a kind of scrappy, random, just get back on the saddle kind of podcast, really. Been inspired by Bill Burr in particular. Hilarious comic, has a really good podcast, and I've just been kind of inspired by his very rough, just hit record and talk type approach. And I thought, if I'm going to start podcasting again, I kind of need to take the same approach. I need to get back on the saddle, just get stuff out there, just start talking to a mic, get used to it, like, and just play around. So that's what this is all about. I want to sort of play with format. I want to learn what the newest tools are, what the newest approaches are, get used to the mic again, and just kind of get back on the saddle again. So this is going to be a bit of a weird show. Like, this first show is just going to be me talking in a very just, you know, this is what I'm doing, this is who I am kind of way. But as we go on, I'm going to be bringing in other people, doing some interviews, and bringing in, you know, different types of approaches to sound, stuff like that. Because I just need to relearn all this stuff and get used to it again. So hopefully it's going to be quite creative, actually, and I'm going to get to play around a lot. But yeah, this first one is kind of just breaking the seal. So yeah, it's probably best if I just start with, like, who I am. Like, if you're listening to this and you've just found it on iTunes or somewhere like that, and you're just listening to this crazy English guy whispering on, who is he? So I'm a programmer, but I'm probably better known as being a publisher. I have about 10 different email newsletters, and I run a company that actually sends emails to like 400,000 different subscribers across those newsletters, and they're all oriented around programming topics. So we have topics like newsletters like JavaScript Weekly, Ruby Weekly, front-end focus, just stuff to do with, like, you know, design and development and databases and all those types of topics. So if you're a software developer, there's probably something for you in what we publish. Head over to, I think it's cooperpress.com. That's probably the best place to go. So I run Cooper Press with a bunch of other people, and we get those newsletters out each week, and yeah, it's kind of fun. I am also at Peter C on Twitter. If you want to get in touch or just tell me, you know, hey, you stink, or just something that I should put in a future show, just let me know. You know, I'm around. I don't mind if people hit me up on Twitter, so go for it. So podcasting isn't entirely new to me, although doing it entirely on my own is new. So I did for a few years two different shows, one called The Ruby Show, another called The JavaScript Show, again, you know, very oriented around programming. But my co-host, Jason Cypher, rest in peace, yeah, he died. And, you know, he didn't die while we were doing the show. That would have been kind of interesting. But he kind of went and got a job at a company called Treehouse, which is one of these kind of online learning video course type, you know, educational websites. And because he ended up doing, like, podcasting and stuff with them professionally, he just didn't sort of have the time, you know, or the inclination to do it on his time off. So we stopped doing the shows for a bit. But the plan was always to get back and, you know, start doing them again as he kind of got used to the idea. But it was not to be. And last year, he was out on a lake somewhere in Orlando, and he was, like, into playing on the water, like, all the time. He loved that type of thing, and he was out playing on the water in some kind of ring or something, and he fell off and disappeared under the water and ended up being turfed up somewhere at the side. It is what it is. You know, very sad, and he's very well remembered. There's even a Facebook group that I'm in which just has tons of people that post, like, funny anecdotes about him and photos and things like that, because he was a very creative, funny guy. So I do miss him. I'm probably a little bit annoyed, actually, because I just love to see what he'd be up to now. Like, he was always up to something kind of fun. So he, yeah, sort of died doing what he enjoyed, but I don't think he wanted to die at this point. So yeah, definitely very sad. So I consider this a very minor tribute to him. And yeah, I guess that's why I needed to start podcasting again as well. I just want to do something that, you know, just didn't involve him as well. So now is hopefully the time to do it. So this episode, I just want to talk a bit and get used to talking. And I have this kind of issue where if I talk too much, I get a headache. And the reason for that is I'm not breathing enough. So I just stop right now and just take a breath, like, There you go. But that sounds good. But yeah, I need to really get my head around that. And that's something else I'm going to learn as I go through, you know, this whole experiment. So I want to cover a few just different topics just to have something to talk about, just get my opinions out there. You know, it's really what all this is about at the end of the day. So iMac Pros. I want to talk about the iMac Pro. I am in the market for an iMac Pro. That's possibly because I've got more sort of money for computers than sense, but you know, there's things I'd like to do with it, do some video editing and stuff like that. So I've been looking into getting the iMac Pro. The benchmarks and all the articles I've seen just are absolutely astounding. Everyone is like, whoa, this thing is fast. So that sounds good to me. I'm ready. Sign me up. The thing that's going to stop me, though, is if you go along to the Apple store, it's like, yeah, we can deliver one tomorrow. Fantastic. So I think that's great. However, as soon as you change the Mighty Mouse for the Magic Trackpad, it's like an extra £50, so that's not a big deal. It adds a four-week delay for your machine to be delivered. Now, I'm really bad with delays. Like, I'd rather not have something than it be delayed. Now, yeah, that says a lot about me, and you'll learn this as we go on. But I just can't put the order in, because I think, well, you know, 4 weeks' time, I may have changed my mind, or I may be impatient, or, you know, I may have ended up going to the store and just bought one anyway. Like, I just don't want to put the order in. And it's just for switching out a mouse for a trackpad. Now, I don't know why they sell the mouse anyway, because the mouse that comes with the iMac Pro is, and I'm going to use my explicit rating here, is fucking awful. It is one of the worst pieces of hardware I've ever fucking seen. Seriously. Like, oh, I've got one with a machine like an iMac, it just tears your hand up. Like, the edge is really sharp. I don't know. It's just dreadful. And then, like, it's got this, you know, surface on the top for doing gestures on that you trigger in. It's like, oh, it's the worst thing that I've ever used. So, yeah, not a big fan of that. I don't know why they sell it. Clearly, someone likes it. And the trackpad is fantastic. Like, the Mighty Magic Trackpad, or whatever it's called, like, is one of the best things ever. So, I couldn't originally get my head around using a trackpad on a desktop, but I had a mouse, I think a Logitech, that broke at one point, and someone lent me their trackpad thing. I was like, oh, this is going to be a grind, But the thing is, it's such a well-made trackpad. It works really well. So after about a day of this, I was like, hang on, I kind of like this. Like, it works in Photoshop. And that's always a kind of thing that I go by. Like, does it work with Photoshop well? Like, can I do, like, pixel-perfect editing with this thing? And it turns out with that trackpad, I can. So, you know, I was sold over on that. So I'm not happy about that four-week delay for, you know, getting a trackpad in there. And I just wish they would sell the trackpad separately, because that wouldn't, like, I'd buy one separately, that's fine. But because it's all a special black one that comes with the iMac Pro, it's all black. Like, I don't know why they're making such a big deal out of it. It just seems really pathetic on their front to do that. So I don't know. But I did see a kind of a cheeky hack online around this. So apparently what you can do is you can try and get in touch with the Apple support and say, oh yeah, my trackpad's broken or whatever, like, oh, I need a new one. And if you, like, give them the serial number and, you know, you can prove that you've got an iMac Pro, they can actually raise, like, a warranty sale for you, so you can kind of buy a new trackpad through that kind of approach. And you can say, oh yeah, I want a black one now, like, I had a white one before, but I'll have the black one this time. And, you know, you can kind of wangle it that way. But other people have said, you know, they've not managed to get it to work, they've spoken to the wrong person, so it's clearly not a guaranteed way of doing it, but there is kind of hope. So yeah, if you've got an iMac Pro, maybe let me know how it's going using that. But I do want to get one. It's just a case of that whole trackpad issue, and I want the black trackpad. Like, I don't want to be slumming it around with a white one. If it's meant to come with a black one, it's meant to come with a black one, and that's what I want. So moving on to kind of other black topics, Black Mirror. Yep, I am a Black Mirror fan, massive fan of the kind of the very near future sci-fi anthology by Charlie Brooker, fellow Brit. And a new season came out at the end of December. I was one of those people that just binge-watched it straight away. I watched all but the last episode in one go. And I'm not a binge watcher of TV, like, just to point that out. I don't just sit and watch, like, 10 episodes of the show at once. But when it's Black Mirror, it has to be done. Like, they're so well produced. They're so, I just love the stories that are in them. And this season was no exception to that. I don't know if I would say it was the best season of all of Black Mirror, but it's probably just about playing second fiddle to season three for me. So season four, yeah, we had... well, I don't want to ruin it like too much for anyone, you know, who's listening to this and hasn't watched it yet, but the whole... you know, Charlie Brooker kind of plays on these same themes over and over and over again, and he's done exactly the same with season four. This whole idea of, you know, if we kind of can take a consciousness and simulate it or entrap it within a digital environment, you know, what are the moral and kind of ethical implications of that? You know, if we take people's consciousnesses and put them into a computer and we kind of run them over and over and over for kind of like simulative purposes to see like what will they do or what can they do for us, like, is that acceptable? Even if, you know, you're not killed the original person that the consciousness is from, is it still appropriate to allow a what I assume was a human consciousness to have that experience, like, and be in a constant loop for millennia or whatever? And he covered this quite well in the White Christmas episode a couple of seasons ago, which was definitely, and I think still is, my favourite episode. It's the one that has Jon Hamm from Mad Men in it, and they do several different stories in kind of one. It's kind of a, you know, an anthology kind of episode, essentially. We've got a similar episode, actually, in this season. It's the one, Black Museum, which is the final episode of the season. It's kind of a... It's set in a museum, but this guy in the museum tells this these tales... So this woman who turns up, and they don't seem very connected at first, but they kind of are. And I don't want to spoil it, but that's another one where, you know, there's all these different stories that tie together and make up a larger kind of whole. I think the Black Museum episode is the best one of the season. So if you, you know, you haven't got time just to watch all of them and you're like, eh, what should I watch? If, you know, you like a bit of the whole sci-fi thing and you think like retro Star Wars, not Star Wars, I'm always doing this, the retro Star Trek kind of kitschy thing is kind of fun, and you're a bit of a geek and you're into computers and everything, then probably watch USS Callister. But otherwise, Black Museum is the one. It's definitely the best of the season. The others are kind of a bit of a mixed bag. It's really depending on what you're on, you know, what you're into. If you're kind of a bit of a cinematic person, you kind of like the whole black and white thing, and, you know, you like some action and you like to be kind of on the seat with like a chase that lasts for about 40 minutes, Metalhead is a good one. If you want something that's a bit kind of cutesy and got a bit of a happy ending, then you probably like Hang the DJ. If you're a bit of a CSI kind of, I don't know, like Nordic noir kind of thriller type person, Crocodile will definitely be up your street. I found it a little bit cold and sterile, but I know that's kind of what that sort of genre of TV is a bit like anyway. And Archangel is probably the weakest one of the lot. It's about a, and I mean, this isn't a spoiler, it's about a device essentially that allows you to spy on your children forever. It kind of is an implant that goes in their head and you can load up on an iPad and see what they're seeing. That's not a spoiler in any way, shape or form. Really, the actual story is about, you know, what is seen and how the parent processes that information. So it's an interesting one in terms of a, you know, moral quandary, but it's not one of it's probably the weakest episode of the season. So, yeah, maybe I'll get on to doing some spoilers in future episodes, but I imagine in a few months everyone will have watched Black Mirror if they want to watch it, so I can probably talk a bit more about some of the you know, moral questions that come up and my attitude to them. Like, my attitude to Hang a DJ, for example, seems quite opposite to most of the other Black Mirror fans that I've spoken to, so I'd be interested in exploring that a bit, and I could talk about that on this podcast. Another thing I just written down that maybe would be interesting to talk about would be my relationship with cryptocurrency. This has been a huge topic in the last, well, few months, hasn't it? It's been in the news everywhere, like all these people making millions out of Bitcoin and people losing a ton of money on it, like, you know, getting in when it was like $17,000 whatever it was, and now it's, you know, crashing down and all this type of thing. So my kind of relationship with it has been a little bit embarrassing, actually. A bit of a late bloomer, really. So I went to a Ruby programming meetup about 5 or 6 years ago, and a bunch of people were talking about Bitcoin. One guy I remember in particular, Mr. John Leach, who is a friend of mine on Twitter, he was, you know, talking about it, and I was kind of like just dissing it, really. I was a bit like, oh, this isn't going to take off, this is just a geeky thing, like, who cares, who gives a damn. And yeah, we saw how that worked out. So yeah, 5-6 years ago, I could have probably been like mining coins and been like a millionaire many times over by now, but I don't actually regret it that much, because I know that, let's say, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I'd done, I don't even know if it's that old, is it? Like, it was, it felt like that long ago, because, yeah, having kids and everything, that's the thing. Well, anyway, it was a long time ago. Now, if I had mined, let's say I got like 100 bitcoins at that time, I know full well that when they reached $10 or maybe even $100, let's say, I would have sold them and been like, oh, wow, look, I've made $10,000. So I know that would have happened, and I would not missed out on the millions of dollars. Like, I just would not have stayed in. I'm not that kind of person. I've since learned that maybe the best thing to do is, if you want to get out of something, just take 90% out, leave 10% on the table. And that's a way to avoid that issue. So anyway, so I saw on Hacker News, which is a site that I frequent and I do quite well with, I saw this whole thing about, you know, oh, Bitcoin's taking off, blah, 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 about 4 months ago. And this is before it really took off. This was just where it was coming, kind of coming up. And I put £850 in, so that's about $1,000. And then it really exploded. Like, I did actually get in on the leading kind of edge of this. So it started to explode. I shifted the money around from currency to currency. And after literally a few weeks in January, I managed to take out £850. So that's that, you know, basically I got my money back, which was the whole goal. Like, I just put the money in, wanted to get the money back out, and then just keep the profit in there rolling around. So that's actually what I've done. And when I did that, I actually had about £900 of profit. So I basically took out half the money, had £900 in there, but it's since crashed. So I'm down now to about £600 in there, kind of doing nothing. And the real point of that money is, it's basically what I'm calling my, like, FOMO hedge fund. By that, I mean, you know, it's my fear of missing out fund. So if Bitcoin goes up to $1 million, let's think, what's that compared to now? That's like about 120 times what it is now. If it does that with my £600, then we're looking at what, about £72,000 to £75,000. So if we do get the $1 million Bitcoin, I'll have a, you know, a nice chunk of change in there. I won't be sad. If, however, Bitcoin tanks and disappears, who cares? Like, I've got my money out. So I'm actually in the perfect situation with Bitcoin. If it explodes, I'm happy. If it crashes, who cares? So, yeah, I played it right for once. I'm generally pretty terrible at, like, gambling or investing generally. And, you know, this is one case where I just saw on Hacker News it was growing, and I just sort of went in on it. Like, I took a risk, and it actually paid off. So, yeah, happy times there. So let me know if you've got your own kind of relationship with Bitcoin, interesting one. And if you are a Bitcoin billionaire and you kind of like what I do and you're interested in hanging out sometime. man, that sounds so seedy. But yeah, if you want to give me like loads of Bitcoin or give me loads of cash, then I'm totally down for that. I'll sell you a newsletter. Like, you can, you know, a few hundred Bitcoin or whatever, just, you know, let me know, so we can make it work. I'll do a lot of things for a lot of Bitcoin. I'm not going to tell you what, but maybe we'll get to that in a future episode. So I let everyone on Twitter know that I was going to do this recording, and I asked them, can you give me some ideas for topics? And yeah, I kind of got the usual stupid responses, as you would expect, but I would expect nothing less of the people that follow me, because I give them exactly the same in return. So I'm just going to pick two of them to quickly go over. So James Urquhart, I don't know how to say your name. It's one of these weird English names. U-R-Q-U-H-A-R-T, Urquhart, or I think it's Urquhart. I'm sure I've heard someone called that before. So let's say James Urquhart. He wants me to talk about steamed hams. So if you don't know about steamed hams, they are kind of the theme of an interesting meme that has been doing the rounds recently, that is based upon a bit out of The Simpsons where Principal Skinner is doing a dinner for Superintendent Chalmers. Superintendent Chalmers comes around. Unfortunately, Principal Skinner breaks or burns the food, and his kind of solution is to leave the kitchen and go and buy some Krusty burgers from across the street, bring them back, and pass them off as the steak that he was going to cook. And Superintendent Chalmers is a little bit suspicious of this whole arrangement, and he's like, well, you know, I thought we were having this. And he's like, no, it's steamed hams. And he's like, well, that's funny, look like hamburgers, blah, blah, blah. And this has actually turned into a bit of a meme. Like, so there's all these videos on YouTube. You go and search for steamed hams. There is steamed hams with everything. There's, like, steamed hams, you know, the ting goes, all this sort of stuff. It's every single topic that you can mix in that's a meme right now, you can mix into steamed hams. Like, it's out there. So go and enjoy some of those. There's not a lot I can say, really, about steamed hams. I guess I'll give you a little bit of trivia about the whole origin of hamburgers overall. You know, the whole idea of, like, shredding up meat and stuff like that went through the port of Hamburg in Germany, so it's not like it's anything to do with ham as such. And where, you know, this kind of idea of taking it and compacting it all back into a steak again was called a Hamburg steak, and later on a hamburger steak. And eventually the word steak kind of got dropped from that, and so we have the hamburger that we have today. That's basically all I know about that situation. So, yeah, let's move on, because I don't really care about hamburgers. So, sleep patterns. Whoa, a bit of a high-pitched voice there. What's going on? I've got a bit of a cold, so, yeah, things are going to happen. So, Tim Nash, who, oh, wow, I've known him a long time. We met at the first Yahoo Hack Day in London, which was at Alexandra Palace, I think about 10, 12 years ago, maybe a bit longer even. Met him there. Interesting guy. So we've sort of followed each other on Twitter ever since. Only met him a few times, though, at some various, like, geek events in the north of England. But I'm one of these people, you'd have to meet someone all the time. Like, it's kind of nice to just know people online and see them occasionally, I think. And there you go. So he pointed out sleep patterns. He said, you've been experimenting with sleep patterns over the years. Tell us about that a bit. So, yeah, I have. I've done lots of stuff with this. I have a very odd sleep schedule. I'm quite flexible. I could literally sort of sleep in a cycle around the clock. Like, I could get up a different time each day. It wouldn't affect me, wouldn't bother me. I'm very much a night owl. And I've got a four-month-old daughter at the moment. So what I'm doing is looking after her at night and then going to bed at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning, waking up at 11 or 12 in the morning. So I have a really weird schedule at the moment. But it works for me. I like it. I like being up at night. I like working. There's no one hassling you at that time of night. It's just a very quiet, peaceful time. I really do love sleeping, you know, working at night and sleeping during the day. I could do it, like, completely. I could, you know, stay up till 6, 7 in the morning and then sleep the whole day. But other people don't seem to like that. It's incompatible with other people's ways of life. So I have to kind of compromise a little bit. But I do love it. So my sleep pattern is actually normal in a way, in the sense that I'm sleeping, you know, sort of 7 hours a night. But it's happening from, like, 3 or 4 in the morning to whenever. So, yeah. In terms of other, like, weirder sleep patterns, I was playing around at one point with this whole idea of polyphasic sleep, you know, where you sleep, like, a few hours here and a few hours there, and you kind of, you know, sleep a few hours just a few times a day, and you make it up with naps and stuff. But I just couldn't get it to work. Like, it just made me feel really rough, so I stopped doing it. I think, you know, messing around with your sleep to that level is a quick way to kill yourself, or you know, at least bring upon mental problems like depression or, you know, bipolar and stuff like that. So you don't want to be tinkering around with that a bit too much. I need my 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night. It doesn't matter when I get them. It doesn't have to actually be at night, but as long as I get them, then great. So, I don't want to drag on for too long. I want to do a little feature at the end here, which I'm going to call the Pod Roll. So, I started blogging a long, long time ago, before it was even called blogging, sort of 1999. I had a site that I posted to frequently. Did get into blogging eventually, you know, sort of very heavily through the 2000s. And one thing that you'll remember if you were a blogger was a thing called a blog roll. And a blog roll was a thing on the side of your blog that was like the names of the different blogs that you supported or you enjoyed. And you link to them. So this is a way that people discover other people's blogs, is that they would look at the pod roll on your, not pod roll, blog roll on your blog, and then click on them and bam, they'd go through. So I want to do the same thing on this show. Like, every single time I do an episode, I want to mention a few different podcasts I really like and enjoy. So if you are also interested in podcasts, you can go and check them out. So I'm going to start. Number one is called My Dad Wrote a Porno. That's very easy to find. Just literally search My Dad and it's going to come up like the first thing. So it's a podcast that is run by these three British people, one woman, two men, and they're reading out one of the guy's dad's erotic novels that he's written in his retirement, and it is absolutely hilarious. I just can't stop laughing the whole way through. I've heard Americans tend to struggle with it, or people that aren't British, because there's a lot of like British in jokes to it, but you might like it. You know, they've become so popular that they're actually now taken this podcast on the road, so they actually go and tour the US and Australia and places, and they do live versions of this show. Like, it's absolutely amazing. So I've never laughed so much. I love laughing, so I therefore love this show. And that brings me to my second one, which is the Bill Burr, I think he calls it the Monday Morning Podcast. It's not actually called the Bill Burr Podcast. It's like the Monday Morning something show or something. I don't know. Whatever he calls it. But I really love it. Like, it's literally just him, like I'm doing now. He talks to the mic. He talks to the mic for about 20, 30, 40 minutes. He's mostly talking about comedy, being on the road, sports, being a parent, being a husband. But he just rambles and goes off on like these crazy just tangents, like, constantly. But he's so engaging with it. Like, he's far more engaging than I will ever be. So yeah, really enjoy that show. And he kind of almost gave me like permission to do this show, because he just does it so rough. Like, the sound is terrible. He just gets through on being him. So, you know, I think that's inspirational. Also, my first podcast I ever listened to was called Astronomy Cast. Again, very easy to find, just Astronomy Cast. Run by two people, Dr. Pamela Gay, and I can't remember the name of the guy. He kind of plays the I'm learning about space time role, and she plays the I'm the expert about space role. And they cover a different topic each show. So, like, let's say, I don't know, the planet Mercury, and then the planet Venus, and then how atoms work, and where the furthest star is, and all this kind of stuff. And they really explain it so well. Like, if you want to know anything about astronomy,
22 hours.
Oh, there you go. That's my computer. Yeah, so I have this thing on my computer where it says what the time is every hour. And I find that actually keeps me on the ball during the day. I don't just sit and screw around all day. Like, it's like, it's 4 o'clock, it's 5 o'clock. And I kind of have a really good connection to what the time is. So, yeah, there you go. It's a little pro tip for you, which I wasn't expecting to give. Go into the settings on the clock on Mac OS, and you can turn that on somewhere. So, anyway, so Astronomy Cast, yeah, really good show, and it's been going like over 10 years now. It was my first podcast I listened to. I don't listen to it anymore, but I need to dip in again. It is such a great show. And I'm also going to mention Modern CTO. So moderncto.io, that's available at, run by a guy called Joel Beasley. He interviewed me literally yesterday. So yeah, it's almost like a little practice for this show, getting to talk to the mic again. And he interviews CTOs, interviews people relating to development, business, and just talks to them about their, you know, their shtick, what they're doing. Just a really engaging, fun guy, though. I just really enjoyed being on the show. He made it, you know, very at ease, and they do a lot of editing. So when we began the call, like, it wasn't like, oh, we're going to start in 3 seconds or 10 seconds. Like, he just started talking to me, and that made it very relaxing and easy to record. So yeah, enjoyed that. You might enjoy that show as well. So I will recommend more podcasts next time I do a show. And yeah, I guess I should talk about what I'm going to do next time. So the plan is I'm going out for a meal with a bunch of friends on Sunday in the city of Nottingham. So yeah, the whole Robin Hood kind of place here in the UK. And we are just going to chat and everything like that. I'm not going to record the whole thing because that would just bore the pants off of you. But one of my friends, Christian Roebuck in particular, he is interested in electric skateboards, and he rides to work every single day on the electric skateboard. So if you live in the city of Lincoln in the UK and you see this crazy ginger guy rolling along the street, it's probably him. I want to know a little bit more about these electric skateboards. I have no balance whatsoever, but he says he's going to try and get me to have a go on it. So I'm going to do a bit of a recording of that, and maybe that will be something that you would find entertaining. I'm also going to find out why my friend Rob, who's going to be there as well, why is he getting married? You know, maybe I've been trying to convince him not to get married. I don't know, like, say, oh, should you really get married? I don't know. So I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for that. But, you know, let's talk to him about that. Get it on the show. Why not? And also be a guy called Chris Brandrick there who works with me. I don't know what I'm going to talk to him about, but maybe we'll get him on the show as well. He's very much into gaming, so maybe he's got some things to tell us about Nintendo and some of the interesting cardboard-based gaming technologies they're working on. So anyway, that's it, pretty much it. I'm going to consider this to be the first episode. It's kind of just getting a lot of stuff out of the system and out the way. I'm going to start getting a bit more creative for the future episodes, but I just wanted to get something out there initially. So Hopefully, I haven't bored the pants off you entirely, or if I have, your pants are now not on, so you can do something nice with that. Wow, I've gone, you know, kind of grim very, very quickly there. So yeah, it's probably best if I turn the recorder off and just call this episode to an end. So thank you very much for listening. If you do listen, just if you could let me know, like on Twitter at PC or something like that, it'd be absolutely fantastic, because I have no idea who's going to listen to this or who's going to even care. So, you know, I'm doing this for me, so we'll see how we get on. So yeah, that's it. I'm going to hit the stop button now. Bye.